Chapter 19. Kira watched Han leave the viewing lounge, feeling a sickness that had nothing to do with eating too much rich food. Su'ulo twittered something and left a moment later. "That boy really likes you," the engineer said. Kira shrugged, trying to appear nonchalant. "We've been through a lot together the past few days."
"Is that why you're hesitant to accept my offer?"
"Don't let a boy hold you back, Kira. The galaxy is full of boys, even attractive ones like Han." "I'll keep that in mind."
"Are you saying you need time?"
"Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying." Kira wanted to be alone more than anything in the galaxy. She needed to think. The engineer's offer of employment was the most incredible thing that had ever happened to her. But something about it wasn't right. And she couldn't say what.
"Well, you only have a day. Then I'm gone."
Kira's shock was wearing off, her survival instinct kicking back in. She realized she needed to say something placating. "I understand, and thank you. It's a very generous offer." She fled, walked purposefully out of the viewing lounge, and didn't take a breath until the door slid shut behind her and she was standing in the corridor. Everything she had ever wanted, and more, offered to her on a silver platter. And she had earned it. She had earned this opportunity, not once, but over and over again. So why was she hesitating? The engineer was wrong about one thing. It wasn't because she was interested in a boy. Not that way. But there was something about Han, something that she had learned by watching him these past few days. And she was still trying to figure it out. Is this a gut instinct? She wondered. No, she was pretty sure that the only thing her gut was telling her was that she'd eaten too many buttered biscuits. This was her head trying to tell her something. But it was like listening to Su'ulo talk. When the words and ideas came too fast, she couldn't keep up. A protocol droid came down the corridor and paused beside her.
"Mistress Kira, may I help you find something?"
"My friends were taking a tour," she said. "I would like to join them."
"Of course. This way, please."
She found Su'ulo right where she expected him, hunkered down with the ship's engineers, asking questions at approximately the speed of light. One of the other engineers was a turquoise-colored Rhodian, a woman with a broom of emerald green hair. Su'ulo looked genuinely happy, maybe for the first time since she'd met him. Kira didn't want to disturb him, so she kept on walking. Han was in the cockpit of the ship, sitting in the co-pilot's chair beside the Wookiee, Rue. She could only see the back of Han's head because he was staring out into space like a man ready to go places. He was probably as happy as Su'ulo. Then Rue said something, and Han turned his head. There was a deep sadness written on his profile. A few days before, she might not have noticed, because it was subtle. A brightness missing from his eyes, shoulders that lacked their usual jauntiness. Like Su'ulo, he was engaged in an animated discussion. She might understand a little Hatties, but she couldn't pick up a single word of Shriwook. From the amount of Han's gesturing and Rue's head shaking and nodding, it seemed Han didn't know many words either, but was quickly picking them up. He said something, and Rue tilted his head back, giving a great, barking laugh. That was it. That was why she was thinking about Han. Over the past few days, Han had treated everyone they encountered like a person. Paolo, Su'ulo, Tool, Rue. Even her. Especially her. She felt like Han looked past the surface things that everyone saw and recognized her as worthy of respect. How did the engineer describe Rue? "My most valuable asset." That was the problem. If Kira decided to accept the engineer's offer, she would stop being a person. She would become another asset of greater or lesser value. She fully expected it to be of greater value. But how much value could one assistant have when Genra was getting ready to close a deal for 1 billion credits? None. She would be as replaceable as a duct rat working in the foundry. On the other hand, if she accepted, she would be so much better off than she was now. She could save some money, even invest. She would have opportunities that she would never have as head for Lady Proxima, or even running her own gang on Corellia. She wouldn't have to stay Jenra's assistant forever. She could do it for a while, learn, then go her own way. Her choice was suddenly much clearer. If only her answer were too. Maybe she should ask Han to help her figure things out. But no, he'd been angry and brusque. And anyway, she didn't want to interrupt his conversation. Rue was pointing out controls and showing Han how to use them. She'd seen Han pilot a speeder, and she knew he belonged on a ship like this one. There was no way she would steal this moment from him. Silently, she turned away and went back to their bunk room. When the two boys returned many hours later, she pretended to be asleep. Even after Saulo started snoring, she lay awake in the darkness, making plans. No matter what choice she made, it created different options and opportunities. The possibilities spun out in her head, becoming the glowing blue lines of those plans, heading in endless directions, stunningly beautiful to contemplate. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't read them at all. Han was gently shaking her awake. "Come on," he said. "The engineer has summoned us back to the viewing lounge." Kira jumped out of bed. They proceeded to the lounge in unusual silence, lost in their own thoughts. When they entered the lounge, a buffet was spread out just like the previous day, with just as many choices, if not quite as many servings. She didn't have an appetite, and neither did Saulo. Han grabbed a pastry as he passed the bar, but didn't seem to have a lot of enthusiasm for eating it. Jenra awaited them. She wore a gown of sapphire blue this time, and her hair was unbound, framing her face like a huge dark halo. "I've spoken with Lady Proxima," she said as they entered. "Is the auction going forward?" Kira asked. "It already has. You were right about her contacts and her ability to move swiftly. Proxima was true to her word. There were four buyers this time, two of whom you are already familiar with." "The droid Gotra and the Kaldana Syndicate," Han said. "Indeed. The Gotra stuck with their original bid, 1 billion credits. But this time, the Kaldana offered 1.1 billion. Han whistled. Kira quickly calculated Lady Proxima's percentage. 6,050,000 credits. The old woman was rich beyond her greediest dreams, thanks to Kira, Han, and Saulo. "So the Kaldana Syndicate wins," Kira said. Han was probably unhappy about that. He had a soft spot for that droid friend of his. "Sure enough," Han said. "You could give the cube to the droid Gotra anyway." Jenra blinked.
"Why would I do that?"
"For a good cause. The Kaldana will use your technology to terrorize neighboring systems. No one will be safe."
"I care nothing for causes. That extra 100 million credits will go a long way." "Surely there's more to it than just money," Kira asked.
"Of course," Jenra said. "What I really want is freedom, to explore the galaxy, or to settle down somewhere on the Outer Rim. I want to create my designs in peace and sell them to whomever I choose. But here's the thing, sweet girl. Money is freedom."
Saulo chattered at them, and Han translated.
"He says giving it to the droids is the right thing to do. It's what the Force would want."
That made no sense to Kira. "Are you saying the Force is some kind of god?"
Saulo shook his head, muttering in frustration.
"Not exactly," Han said. "And actually, he's changing his mind. He read that the Force moves through living creatures, so he doesn't know if it has anything to do with droids or not. He just knows that giving the shield tech to the Gotra feels like the right thing."
Jenra turned her back to them and gazed out at the stars. The edges of one of the asteroids had rotated into view. It was just one asteroid,
a speck of dust on the galaxy-wide scale. Yet it dwarfed the Red Nimbus.
"And what do you think, Kira?"
she asked. "I think it's impractical to make a big decision based on a feeling."
"I agree," the engineer said.
"But there are some practical reasons to keep that tech out of Kaldorna hands."
"Oh?"
"Like Han said, if the Kaldorna get it, the Corellia system becomes almost unflyable. They're already a major player there. With this technology, they will crush their competition and start spreading to other systems." Kira felt herself warming to the topic. The stakes were huge, so much bigger than anything she'd dealt with before. The consequences of this deal had the potential to reach galaxy-wide. And she was right in the middle of it. For better or worse, she had helped make this happen. For today, at least, she was a major player.
"Why give them the resources to take their operations galaxy-wide?" Kira continued. "Do you really want to upset the balance of power like that?"
"Maybe I do," Genra said. "It might keep the Empire busy for a while. Off my back."
"I can't blame you for that," Kira said. "I mean, if I were you, I'd just want to survive." Han said,
"I really think you should give it to the droids."
"Me too,"
Sulo said, and Kira understood his words clear as day. Genra turned to face them, her sapphire gown swishing at her heels. How many incredible gowns did she own?
"I made my decision hours ago. The Kaldorna ship will be here any moment. Lady Proxima assured me that the three of you would complete the exchange in person. After that, the Kaldorna will escort you safely back to Coronet City."
"Whoa," said Han. "The Kaldorna are coming here?"
"We're doing the exchange?" Kira said. Sulo protested too, but all Kira caught was the word for kill. He was a handy fellow to have around, because in spite of their broken communication, Sulo always managed to get her thinking. And right now, she was thinking that the engineer wanted to be rid of them after all. Her hospitality and kindness had been a ruse, maybe even her job offer. Genra was not going to let them go, not really. She was washing her hands of them and sending them to the Kaldorna. Maybe the Kaldorna would let them live, but if they didn't, Genra wasn't going to lose any sleep. Because she was at heart a betrayer. In the end, no one mattered to Genra except Genra. And people like Kira and Han and Sulo, they were assets and of limited value. It was as though the engineer had read her mind, because she said,
"Kira, my offer is still on the table. You have a place here on the Red Nimbus if you want it. The boys can handle the exchange."
So maybe the job offer wasn't a ruse. Everything in Kira screamed to accept. Avoid going to the Kaldonan ship. She'd have food, beautiful clothes, something important to do. She'd live. Kira opened her mouth to say yes, but the word lodged in her throat. Finally, she managed, "I guess I'm still thinking about it." Genra was about to say something else, but Han pointed toward the window.
"I think the Kaldorna ship is here," he said.
The ugliest starship Kira had ever seen glided into view. It was huge, easily three times the size of the Red Nimbus, with jagged protrusions and pointed attachments. Blaster burns scorched its side, and the pulse engine belched a plume of dirty gray exhaust.
"That thing is a beast," Han said, eyes wide. "It looks like they slapped the power converter on with just a few screws and some adhesive. And their pulse engine is burning hard fuel. A ship that size should have been retrofitted a long time ago."
"Bangama!"
Sulo barked something, gesturing angrily.
"Yeah, an abomination. I've never seen an ion flux stabilizer that looks like that before. How do they put together such a huge bid if they can't even afford proper ship maintenance and upgrades?"
"They sold their flagship," Genra said, looking amused. "To help cover the cost of their bid. This is the junker they bought to replace it."
"Oh," Han breathed. "They really want that shield tech."
In any case, grab all your belongings and prepare to board, General ordered. We'll be docking together via airlock in a moment.
They all looked at each other and shrugged. They'd come with nothing more than the clothes on their backs and Su'ulo's datapad, and that was what they'd leave with.
Kira eyed the bar and all the platters of food laid wastefully across it. Too bad they couldn't take bucket loads of food with them.
Han and Su'ulo were staring at her, and it took a moment for her to realize why. She still hadn't given Genra an answer.
Let's go, Kira said gruffly. To the airlock.